It's not about proving you can do it once.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's about showing you can do it again.
Three ball, why not? Cash Money Middleton.
Giannis
down the lane in a man slam.
It's Holiday. Floats it off the window and good.
Let's talk Bucks.
We're going to listen to whatever, you know, Bud wants us to do, and we're going to go out there and compete.
Game recaps, analysis, and previewing every second of playoff basketball for the reigning champs. This is Bucks at 6 with Alex Stroph on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on Wisconsin On Demand.
Yeah, the Bucks don't stop here as they are moving on. A win in the opening round of the playoffs. 4-1. It's what they call a gentleman's sweep, right, over the Chicago Bulls. The Boston Celtics up next for the world champion Milwaukee Bucks. How you doing, everybody? Hope you're having a great NFL draft. Thursday, Alex Stroph with you here on Bucks at 6:01 across ESPN Wisconsin. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. 100.5 ESPN Madison. Lot to get into. Not so good news on Chris Middleton. We'll get into that in a second. And a tough matchup coming in round number two. I view the next round as the Eastern Conference Finals. I really do. I think the Bucks and the Celtics are the two best teams remaining in the Eastern Conference field. So I really feel, unless that's just a slobber knocker of a series, the winner of that series will probably represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. So it's going to be a fun one. It's just going to be a little bit tougher for the Milwaukee Bucks, as they will likely be without Chris Middleton due to that MCL sprain in his left knee, which is tough news to hear the day after, you know, you win the series. It's just not ideal, but nonetheless, the Bucks moving on after a 116-100 win over the Chicago Bulls last night, and now the Boston Celtics await. But I had a couple takeaways, first off, from that Bulls series, and that was the sense of urgency, right, that turned on for the Bucks after game two. When Chris Middleton goes down, the one game they lose in the series on their home floor, it almost seemed like that lit the fire under the butts of the Milwaukee Bucks. Because the urgency, the sense of urgency was on full display in games 3, 4, and 5. They go on the road last Friday and Sunday in Chicago. They just whoop the Bulls. They make it look like the Bulls didn't even belong in the building. And then last night again, and I know it was kind of the corpse of the Chicago Bulls lineup last night back at Fiserv Forum, but a big win last night for the Bucks, 116-100 again, the final in that one. But that series doesn't matter a ton anymore. I do want to start with some audio from Giannis, because the takeaway from that series, like I said, was the sense of urgency. The team woke up after that Game 2 loss and losing one of their star players in Chris Middleton. But we've talked all year long. The Milwaukee Bucks have incredible depth, and again, that was on full display as well. So the urgency and the depth was on display, but Giannis actually had a different perspective. It was about desperation, says Giannis Antetokounmpo last night after the Game 5 win.
I think, you know, after Game 2, we kind of talked about that we know what the deal was. You know, the team knew what the deal was. Like, we knew what we had to do. We had to be desperate. You know, we have to go out there and compete at a high level, you know, like pay attention to detail as much as possible, you know, help one another defensively. You know, we got to do it as a team. You know, there's it's not the one-man show or two-man show, whatever the case might be. We got to do it as a team. You know, we got to show up, be there as a team. So I think we did it in game 3, we did it in game 4, we did it in game 5. Now we're going to a different series, playing a different team. A very, very good team, and hopefully we can do it again.
Yeah, hopefully they can do it again. That again, Giannis Antetokounmpo last night after the Game 5 win. It's about desperation. It's about staying desperate. It's about realizing that this can be over real quick if things get out of hand. And when the Bulls evened up that series at one game apiece, the Bucks woke up, even without Chris Middleton. So that gives me a lot of faith heading into this next round series against the Boston Celtics. Now, first off and foremost, I know the Boston Celtics are a heck of a lot better than the Chicago Bulls. We don't need to spell that one out. We know that. I mean, the Boston Celtics, the best defensive team in the NBA, also one of the hottest teams in the NBA. Coach Mike Budenholzer, well, yeah, that's exactly what he thinks. He calls Boston the hottest team in the league, simply.
They're the hottest team in the league. I mean, you'd have to be in a cave to not know that they're winning every game. They're you know, the best defense in the league, that got great players, great coaching.
Yeah, they got it all. They really do. Boston, and we talk about this in all sorts of sports, right? Peaking at the right time is one of those famous cliches we use all the time. But it's true, and it's an important aspect. And the Boston Celtics are doing just that right now, beating the Brooklyn Nets, who I think a lot of us thought might be an NBA Finals favorite coming into the regular season, sweeping them clean, 4-0. They didn't have a gentleman's sweep like the Bucks did in round one. It was a clean sweep of Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers of the basketball to ever play the game. So, yeah, it looks really good from the outside. But again, the Milwaukee Bucks, similarly to how the Boston Celtics are a heck of a lot better than the Chicago Bulls, the Milwaukee Bucks are a heck of a lot better than the Brooklyn Nets were this year. There was just no chemistry. They looked so flat, did the Brooklyn Nets in round one. So I like the Bucks' chances. It's just I don't know how much. And Shams Charania from The Athletic this morning reporting that Chris Middleton will likely be out the entirety of the second round series. It's a grade two sprain, and he is expected to miss the entire second round series. And then Shams goes on, the recovery of grade two MCL places a potential conference finals in jeopardy for him as well. So our biggest fear coming true in terms of the Chris Middleton injury, and that is that this is going to be longer term than maybe we initially expected. It was said, we'll wait 2 weeks, we'll reevaluate. It hasn't even been 2 weeks, and now we're already ruling him out of the entire second, well, just about the entire second round series, and likely or potentially out of the conference finals if the Bucks do make it that far. So it's just something we have to accept now, which I know the five stages of grief, right? Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. We have to get to the acceptance stage now. We got to skip a couple stages because the Bucks are without Chris Middleton. It's just something we have to stare in the face. And it's not fun. It's an ugly thing to stare right in the face that Chris Middleton won't be able to help the Bucks in the second round series against the Boston Celtics. But it's just something we have to accept at this point. And, you know, it really does make for some unique matchups, right? Giannis and Jason Tatum, of course, is the one that pops off the page. Jrue Holiday and Marcus Smart, the two best defending guards in the NBA, going head-to-head. Boston in that Brooklyn series was throwing out a big man lineup, right? Al Horford and Daniel Tice both getting the start, even though Grant Williams played a bit more than Daniel Tice did. But, you know, with Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez starting, you have something to match up with that. So that's a positive note, right? I think this is going to be a defensive series, which if you're a fan of the NBA, might not be your favorite thing, but it's going to be good basketball, good defensive basketball, especially. And Mike Budenholzer, you know, as I mentioned at the top, we talk a lot about the depth of the Milwaukee Bucks. And Mike Budenholzer talks both depth and defensively what the Bucks have to do without Middleton. He believes they can deliver, but there's a few things they have to do. Here's Mike Budenholzer after the win last night.
But we've got depth. We've got a good group. We miss Chris. I don't really think anybody underestimates how important and how you know, how effective he is for us. But you know, while we don't have him, we got to be our best. You know, all up and down the roster.
Yeah, we do. We need Grayson Allen to do what he did in games 3 and 4, right? We need him to just go bananas from outside the arc once again. As Grayson Allen, I mean, he stepped up huge in this series. He had 13 again last night. Wasn't as hot. Even though he shot 50% from outside, he wasn't as hot as he was in games 3 and 4. That's so weird to say. But you really do need some contributions from the bench. And, you know, you saw it in game 5, and I don't want to put a lot of stock into game 5 because again, it's tricky, right? I mean, the Bulls were without LaVine. They were without Caruso. It was just kind of the skeleton of the Chicago Bulls. So you need some bench contributions again in this next series, looking at Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, mainly, as those two guys that can slot in and really provide off the bench. And then you need Bobby Portis to step up the way he did. You want Brooke Lopez to look the way he did early in that Bulls series, and you just let Giannis do Giannis. And you actually you have more than a puncher's chance in this series, right? Like, I don't want to underestimate how good the Milwaukee Bucks are because they are a really, really good basketball team even without Chris Middleton. I know the Boston Celtics are too, but let's not act like the Milwaukee Bucks don't have a chance in this series. I wouldn't be shocked if they lose game one on Sunday, but we saw the way this team is able to respond, and they did just that in games 3 and 4 on the road. in this first round series. And they always have under Mike Budenholzer, right? In games 3 and 4, they just respond, especially if they're down. They did it throughout the stretch to the Larry O'Brien Trophy last year. The way this team's able to respond is what makes them so special. And I think if they get punched in the mouth first in this Boston series, as weird as it is to say, I think that might be a good thing. Right? I think get punched in the face, lose a game early, and I actually think that might be a little bit more comfortable ground for me as a Milwaukee Bucks fan, as odd as that is to say. But it's going to be a really fun series because these are, as I said, the two best teams, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference. I really think the winner of this series in the Eastern Conference semifinals will represent the Eastern Conference in the NBA Finals. The Sixers, the Heat, or even the Raptors, who are still alive somehow, as good as those teams are, they're not to the level of Boston and Milwaukee. Wesley Matthews, defensively, has been really good in this series, or was defensively really good in that Chicago series. Offensively, I think he did what he needed to do, right? It's not like he's asked to be that number two or number three scorer offensively. He's there for defense. He's there to hit a couple threes. He's there to hit some open shots. He met with the media after the game last night, and, you know, he minced no words. Boston's good. Yeah, they are. But here's Wesley Matthews.
It's going to be fun. But, you know, when I think of the Boston Celtics, what I see is a team that's together, you know, on both sides of the ball. On the offensive side, they bought in. On the defensive side, they bought in. And, I mean, they've got a lot of talent, you know, across the board. They've got a lot of talent. They're well coached. Obviously, you know, the history of the Boston franchise. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a battle, that's for sure. It's going to be a battle. But, you know, they're a good team, but, you know, so are we.
They're a good team, but so are we. Boston, Milwaukee, game number one this Sunday at noon. Hoo boy, and you can hear that game on 620 WTMJ 100.5 ESPN in Madison. I'm really pumped for this series, right? Like, this is going to steal the freaking show in the second round of the NBA playoffs. Boston and Milwaukee. Like, what are the over-unders on this game going to be? Chris Larson's running the show. Chris, are these game totals going to be like 185 points? Like 92-93 is going to be the final score of some of these games?
Yeah, it's going to be a defensive struggle big time. Yeah, so Boston might probably the team that's the best defensive team in the NBA. Marcus Smart maybe the best defender in the NBA as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he won it this year. He won the Defensive Player of the Year, first guard to win it in a long time. First one since Gary Payton, I believe it was. And Drew Holiday really should have been in that conversation. I mean, he's right there with Marcus Smart. So those two going head-to-head. It was fun in the regular season. It's going to be on steroids in the postseason. This is going to be a terrific series. Really looking forward to it. We're going to talk more about this Boston-Milwaukee series, as well as some takeaways from the Chicago-Milwaukee series. Tony Smith, host of Homer and Tony. You hear him every day, 2 to 4 on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee with Steve the Homer True and Chris Larson every day. So Tony Smith, the Marquette Hall of Famer, former Milwaukee Buck, he'll join us next. It's Bucks at 6 across ESPN Wisconsin.
More Hoops Talk coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin. You're listening to Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Bucks at 6 rolling on your Thursday across ESPN Wisconsin. 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Alex Strope hanging out with you until 7 o'clock, leading you right into the NFL Draft Megacast here on ESPN Wisconsin. But we're taking a draft break. We're talking a little Bucks as they punch their ticket to the second round. A matchup with the really good Boston Celtics, but the Milwaukee Bucks also really good. Excited to be joined now by Tony Smith. You hear him weekdays 2 to 4 alongside my best friend Homer and a pebble, Chris Larson, who's also running this show each and every day. He's the Marquette Hall of Famer. You hear him on the Marquette Basketball Radio Network. Also a former Milwaukee Buck. Tony, I might have to spend this entire segment running down your resume, so I'm going to stop there. Appreciate the time, buddy. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Alex? How's it going, buddy?
Oh, not too bad on my end, man. Feeling good, but could be feeling better. The diagnosis on Chris Middleton this morning ruining my day a little bit, Tony. Obviously, the Bucks would like to have him, but I'm still feeling pretty confident about the Bucks' chances in this next series, even without Chris Middleton. Where are you at?
Man, I can't say I'm that confident. how can you be confident? Middleton's a big miss. I mean,
of course,
the guy was huge last year throughout the playoff run when, you know, Giannis wasn't there to take over. It was Middleton taking over some games. As a matter of fact, when Giannis went down, Middleton dominated. So, man, you just never know in these playoffs. It's so tough. Matter of fact, these playoffs have been terrible for me because there's a lot of stars, a lot of big-name players getting hurt, and it just sucks to see these guys out and also not to see teams at full strength. So, you know, the Bucks, man, they're going to miss him certainly, and especially in an entire series. That's the difference here, you know, against Chicago. Well, first of all, Chicago, I mean, I had no fear of that one. I lost 500 on that one because I bet the Bucks in a sweep, Alex. So that tells you where I thought about that series. But, you know, Boston Celtics are a different animal. You've already said that as much. And they're playing as well as anybody or better than anybody, would you say? I mean, that's just what it is right now. Yeah, so
yeah.
It's just going to be a tough ask for the Bucks right now without one of their best players, their second best player. But I'm not saying there's not a chance. I'm just saying I don't feel as good as you do.
Yeah, you know, Tony, I'm not sitting here and saying they're going to win in a sweep like you said you did against the Chicago Bulls. This series goes 6 or 7 regardless one way or another. I think as hot as the Celtics are you thinking they can win this in 4 or 5, or are you still still kind of with me 6 or 7?
I'm not saying – I don't think they're going to do it. The Bucks are certainly going to get some games. But the other thing was, as I said on my show, the first thing is I don't know if Boston can continue the clip they're playing at. I mean, they've been playing good for months now. So I don't know how long they can sustain that. I know you want to peak going into the playoffs, but that's peaking, February, March. That's not peaking in January. They've been killing since the beginning of the year. So it's been a long streak. I just have a feeling that they're going to come back down to earth a little bit, at least a few games, and that's where the Bucks are going to have a chance to maybe sneak in the series and like you say, pull it out. There's a chance they pull it out, but man, I don't have a good feeling about it. If I had to spend another 500, I would say that Boston wins this series, but certainly Markey's going to put up a fight.
All right, Chris, we can hang up on him now. That's enough pessimism from Tony Smith. I'm just kidding. I do want to ask Tony Smith with us here on Bucks at 6. Jason Tatum, I mean, you talk about an incredible clip. The series that guy had against the Brooklyn Nets was superstardom. I that might even be an understatement. Has he been the most impressive player to you in the NBA playoffs so far?
Yeah, man. He's been really good. And, I mean, and not only offensively is he playing at a high clip, but the way he was able to defend Kevin Durant, I think, opened some eyes as well. I don't know if everybody was seeing him as that type of a complete player. And they're going to need that. I mean, obviously, he will be matched up against Giannis, but I got to tell you right now, he's not going to be able to do that to Giannis. Giannis is a different type of player. He's not as good as Kevin Durant is, all-world offensively. Giannis is a different animal. And Jason Tatum, for one, is too small. If Giannis decides to go down to the block, he's going to get toasted down there. He's too little. So that and the Bucks' ability to get hot from three are two things that, you know, give me some hopes that the Bucks can actually pull this off, because Giannis is going to be unstoppable. It's just, what are the rest of the Bucks going to do? Are they going to hit their threes, or are they going to do like the game where they let Chicago take one, and are they going to miss their threes? You know what I mean? That's going to be one thing that you have to watch out for. The other guys, with Middleton out especially, you got to see a lot of what you saw from Grayson Allen again in the last two games. You got to see that Grayson Allen show up. You got to see Bobby Portis being Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez being Brooke Lopez. Wes Matthews has to come. So you got to get a lot of guys, as they say, next man up, but it's next crew up. You're not going to replace Middleton but one guy.
No, that's
Completely true, and I think that that's a perfect example of what we saw in that Chicago series, right, Tony? I mean, you had the Grayson Allen games, of course, but you also had Bobby Portis after his eye abrasion in Game 2 come to life. You had Brooke Lopez early in the series, really, you know, doing work down low. So it's going to be interesting. But you brought up the Tatum-Giannis matchup. There's another matchup in this game I'm really intrigued to see, and that's Jrue Holiday and Marcus Smart go head-to-head at the point. Matchup are you looking forward to the most? I imagine Giannis Tatum.
No. The one you just mentioned. You know, those two guys are elite defenders, and they're a little underrated offensively. I think Jrue Holiday is a guy who can go off. We've seen him go off in situations, but he's not really looking as good all the time. And the same can be said for Marcus Smart. These guys are facilitators. They're going to take their shots when they come. They're going to take the opportunities when they come, and they've been pretty efficient at doing that. But certainly going to be a good matchup, I think. In this situation, I would give the edge to Jrue Holiday for the simple fact that he is a true point guard. Marcus Smart is not really a point guard. I mean, he has only become a point guard out of necessity. He's been playing it over the past few years in spots, but he's not a true point guard. So I think really Jrue Holiday can put a lot of pressure on him and affect his game. Maybe, you know, force him to play some more minutes, because I don't see any other. You know, Peyton Pritchard is going to come in and play the point. I don't think so. Not with Jrue Holiday hounding him. So, you know, maybe he can wear him down. I think Jrue Holiday has that advantage, but it's certainly going to be an unbelievable matchup.
What do you make of Grayson Allen's emergence in that series against Chicago? I mean, games 3 and 4 especially, it was just like, where was this guy the last two games? It was pretty incredible what he did over the weekend, Tony. What'd you make of what he was able to do against Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, he looked great again. He didn't do much the first couple of games, and all of a sudden he picked up his production. I mean, a lot of times it comes with minutes as well. You know, you're going to get more minutes than normal. It kind of gives you a little bit of a mental boost that you're going to be in there. Other times, you know, guys are not sure. And, you know, I've been in a situation on teams where I'm not sure the minutes I'm going to get. And it's difficult to then get your game off in that situation. But if you kind of say, hey, you know what, we got a guy hurt, I'm going to play 20 minutes for sure. So then you're a little more relaxed. You're not as anxious, not feeling like I have to hurry up and do something. It's going to come to me, and I have time to be on the floor to let the game come to me. So you can play more relaxed. That's what we're seeing out of Grayson Allen right now. So Milton's still going to be out, and he's still going to get those minutes, especially coming off what he did those last two games of the Chicago series. So you just got to hope, if you're a Bucks fan, that he continues to play like he is, knocking down shots and being a pesky defender.
If I could give you the option to watch one of these two tonight, one of them is on tonight, the NFL Draft Round 1 or Game 1, Boston-Milwaukee, which one are you looking forward to most, Tony?
I'd have to say game... No, I take that back. I got to say NFL Draft, man. Come on. The draft. I'm a big Packers fan.
There's nothing like it.
It's a big Packers fan. They got to get their crap together, or else they're going to upset me and ruin my night. Now if you said Game 7, Bucks Boston, I might have to do a split screen. I watch one on my phone and one on my TV.
I respect it. I know this is a basketball show, but I got to ask. You're a sports talk host. You talk it all. What you said? If the Packers upset you, what would have to happen for them to upset you? They don't draft a wide receiver tonight?
No, they don't. They don't address the wide receiver position. Now, I don't necessarily think they have to draft any. I'm not upset if they don't, because Rodgers doesn't seem to do well with the rookie receivers anyway. So right. I would, you know, I pitched a theory out there. Hey, go get some of those veteran wide receivers who are maybe not the top of their game, but they still got something left, because the theory, what's been in Green Bay the entire time, is that Rodgers can elevate normal guys, right? He can help them become better. So go get, you already went and got, right, Sammy Watkins. He's that caliber guy that I'm talking about. Go get an Emmanuel Sanders now. Go get Cole Beasley, Braxton Berrios, Keelan Cole. Go get some of these guys who are, you've heard the names before, but maybe they haven't been with the best quarterbacks. Now you put them with Aaron Rodgers, I think you get something better out of them. So I don't care if they draft one or if they make a move, but they have to address that position at some point, somehow, some way. And if it's not done by picking up a guy who's out there on the free agent market or trading for somebody, then they have to draft one. But either way, it has to be addressed, or else I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Tony, I got to be honest. I would have put $500 that the name Braxton Berrios was not brought up in our conversation today, but I guess I would have lost that bet. That was a pull out of nowhere.
That's how desperate I am, Alex. I'm reaching. We need something, man. I don't want to have to go out there and Aaron Rodgers throwing me balls, because I ain't going to catch Jack, I tell you that, because I don't want to get hit.
You still got some gas left in the tank? Maybe the Bucks need
you. No. No. I couldn't do anything. I'll tell you right now, I see a guy coming at me, I'm laying down.
I love it. Tony Smith, appreciate the time. Before I let you go, though, Chris Larson, he produces this show, Bucks at 6, also produces your show, Homer and Tony, which you can hear daily, 2 to 4 p.m. on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Any tips for me for working with Chris Larson, a.k.a. Pebble?
Yeah, don't upset him. He's kind of mean and ornery sometimes. You get on his bad side, he'll give you a look. He'll give you looks through the glass, man. I'll tell you, I see him all the time. I'm always watching him, and he's rolling his eyes back there. Just be on time for breaks, Alex. That's the best thing I can tell you.
Yeah, luckily for Alex, he's not on the other side of the glass from me, so you can't see my my looks on my eyebrows, which is more beneficial for him probably. So,
but still be on time for breaks, Alex. That's all I got
to
say.
Well, then I must say, Tony, I have to let you go in order to be on time for breaks. Really appreciate the time, dude. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Yeah, we got
to
go. Let's go.
All right, take care, gentlemen. See you guys.
That's Tony Smith, host of Homer and Tony, which you can hear weekdays 2 to 4 p.m. right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Or go get the Homer and Tony podcast wherever you get your podcast, or at WisconsinOnDemand.com. We all need more Chris Larson in our life, so we'll get some more Chris Larson as we go around the NBA. That's next. It's Bucks at 6:30 right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Big thanks to our guy Tony Smith for joining us last segment. Talking Bucks, a little NFL draft talk mixed in there. As well as the Bucks again punched their ticket to the second round of the NBA playoffs, a 4-1 series win over the Chicago Bulls in Game 5. A Game 5 win last night punches their ticket to the next round. They'll take on the steaming hot, the smoking hot Boston Celtics, probably the best defensive team in the league. Mike Budenholzer also called them the hottest team in the league. So it brings a fun matchup. Tony Smith, a little bit more pessimistic. Maybe I'm too optimistic about the Bucks' chances in this next series against the Boston Celtics. We'll get into that before we wrap up the show tonight, but it's time now to go around the NBA. Chris Larson caters kind of the headlines, some of the topics, some of the top notes from the NBA, and we talk over this wonderful music. So it is time now, Chris, for me to say boom shakalaka.
And it's time for me to say he's on fire as we go around the NBA. Let's start off in the Western Conference last night. The Warriors proved they can win ugly in Game 5 against the Nuggets, a crucial piece to their potential championship run. The Warriors erased an 8-point deficit, outscoring the Nuggets 32-30 in the final quarter. They really turned up the defensive intensity, even though they were drastically out-rebounded by the Nuggets. They were minus 13 on the glass, allowed 14 offensive rebounds, but they showed they can gritty it up, and that's, I think, might be a big key to them actually making a run to a championship.
Yeah, we talked about that death lineup last week, Chris, that great lineup they throw out there. Now it's just the size, which I saw on NBA Today on ESPN TV earlier today. They were talking about, are they too small? And I don't think so, right? Like, I think you and I both believe the Warriors are currently the favorite in the Western Conference, and rightfully so. Yeah, they were out-rebounded, but it might happen every once in a while when you play a guy like Nikola Jokic. I think he finished with 30 points and 20 rebounds last night. Like, that's a hell of a stat line for Nikola Jokic. So I'm not too worried. They won ugly. They won gritty at home. But a win's a win, as they always say, Chris. And the Warriors, I still view them as the favorite. It was a do-or-die game for the Nuggets. So, you know, earlier in the show, I talked about the Bucks' sense of urgency after that Game 2 loss. It was do-or-die time for the Nuggets, and they played with an incredible sense of urgency, but it's still not enough to knock off Steph Curry and company. The Warriors are really good, Chris. I still think they're the favorite in the West.
Yeah, they're moving on. And then, like you said, they're probably the favorites in the West. Definitely with that Devin Booker injury, definitely probably the favorites, I would say. And that small lineup, you know, when they can really put out those guards out there, when they got Klay Thompson, they got Jordan Poole, they got Steph Curry, yeah. Draymond Green, just put all those guys out there who can score the basketball. And, the size things might hurt them later on if they play a team with some size. But yeah. I was really impressed last night that they could really gritty it up. I didn't think they were going to be able to do that anytime. So,
gritty it up. Yeah. I like that phrase. Yeah, it's likely they'll see who. Probably the Grizzlies,
Probably the Grizzlies.
Game six of that series tomorrow.
Yep.
Ja versus Steph. That's going to be a clash. That'll be a lot of fun to watch in the second round. But again, I think the Warriors are on another
level, yes.
Step above the Grizzlies. Yep. Right, exactly. So anyway, what's next?
But that was the Western Conference game last night. The only other game besides the Bucks and Celtics game last night, we only had two games last night. But tonight, we got three game sixes, all three road teams looking to close out their respective series as the Sixers look to close out the Raptors, the Suns look to close out the Pelicans, and the Mavericks look to close out the Jazz.
Yeah, so let's start with Suns-Pelicans. That game's just underway. Suns with a 3-0 lead over New Orleans down in New Orleans, which that city's been freaking electric for this series. Can we say so? It's wonderful, but I think that series ends tonight. Devin Booker's playing, right, Chris? If I'm not mistaken, he's playing in this game.
I believe so, yes.
Now, I don't know how much of him we'll actually see, if he's on a pitch count of sorts. He did start the game, but I'm interested to see how much he plays. I wish the Bucks would have had this fate, right, where they get a super crucial piece to their puzzle back within the same series or early on. Next series, obviously not the case with Chris Middleton, but Devin Booker's back. And, you know, as a basketball fan overall, that's a huge thumbs up. The league is better. The playoffs are better. The Suns are better when he's involved. So I'm interested to see how he plays tonight. I still expect the Suns to win, even if he doesn't do a ton or if he is, you know, only on a certain amount of minutes. So I think the Suns win tonight. Philly and Toronto also underway. They're in the second quarter. Philly up 36-31. Chris, I want Toronto to win so bad. I want Philly to blow this. Homer filled in on Scalzo and Brust yesterday. And as Homer does, as you know very well, he went on a rant about how Doc Rivers is the greatest loser of all time. Because John Madden won a Super Bowl, and if he hadn't have done that,
because he's in the club, like, he's in the club,
right? Yeah, he's in the club, and you know, you work with Homer a lot closer than I do, but
he's
that
big
was
on
one
clubs.
Of those moments where I was like, "What the hell are you talking about, Homer? Are you speaking a different language?" So I want to see the Raptors win, and they're keeping it close. They're on their home floor. Let's go seven. I hope to God Toronto wins this series. It would be so fun to see Philly blow a 3-0 series lead. And the NBA playoffs, they're better when Luka's in it. I think Dallas wins on the road tonight. Now, we got to talk about something in this Utah-Dallas game, Chris. Rudy Gobert got stung by, I don't know if it was one or several bees earlier today, because he owns a beehive. He will play tonight in Game 6, but he was stung in the face by bees, Chris. What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, he owns a beehive. I don't know if he makes his own honey or something like that, but apparently he got stung in the nose. Apparently, he's not good at swatting smaller defenders. But it seems like a mid-July baseball-type injury, getting stung in the nose. But I just don't understand how he was one of seven guys, he said, who was by the beehive that didn't get stung. And he was the only one that got stung, apparently. This is weird. I mean, there's so many weird injuries that have happened. I remember Matt Wise, the pitcher with the Brewers, hurt his hand with the salad tongs, which I think is like one of the craziest things ever. But
I remember Scooter Jeanette, former second baseman of the Brewers. He cut his hand on like a soap dispenser in the shower, he went and did a rehab assignment up in Appleton. I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. We've got the Devin Williams injury in baseball, right? When he punched the wall after they won the NL Central last year. So, yes, this does feel like a baseball injury. But I got to go back to your earlier point. Why the hell does he own a beehive? Like, I understand he's in the NBA. I understand he has, enough money to live the rest of his life comfortably. But why spend it on a beehive? I have no interest. If you gave me $5 million right now, it would never cross my mind to try to be a beekeeper.
No,
I don't know what this guy's doing.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know either, because also, too, like if he is making his own honey and being a beehive keeper and everything like that, I wonder if he's got the big suit, you know, the big suit you put on with the mask over and everything like that. And also, too, this lone bee, it's one of his bees because he owns the beehive. If it stung him, did he kill this bee?
Because well, don't bees die when they sting? Is that what happens?
Is that
wasps?
I think it's wasps.
So bees can still live if they sting?
Yes, I believe so. I have to look that up, but
okay. I know you're not a zoologist, Chris, no. But I'm going to rely on your knowledge.
And I don't play one on TV either, so.
No, you don't.
I'm going to look it up right now, real quick.
Okay, yeah, you Google that, Chris, because I'm intrigued to know if he killed one of his own by being stung in the face. But if you go on Twitter and just look up Rudy Gobert, you'll find the picture, or even if you go to Google, look up Rudy Gobert, you'll find the picture of Rudy Gobert's swollen face. I wonder if he'll go face mask tonight, right? Like we've had Bobby Portis be playing Bobby Bifocals the last couple of games. Maybe we'll have the face mask like Kobe Bryant once wore, Chris, on Rudy Gobert tonight. Like, I'm just intrigued to say, and this to see, excuse me, is this game doesn't tip off till 9 o'clock tonight local time. What he looks like? Will he be back to normal Rudy Gobert face? Really, Rudy Gobert has some of the most unfortunate moments in the last few years in NBA history, right? He was the first player to test positive for COVID, and essentially that led to the league shutdown about 2 years ago now. And now we've got the bee sting in the face the night of a crucial do-or-die playoff game for the Utah Jazz. This guy just cannot stop being the unfortunate one.
And I don't want to make light of it either. Make light of it either, because if he is allergic to bees and he gets stung, obviously that could be a very detrimental thing too. So
right.
I don't know if he swelled up or not, but I did look it up. Honeybees are actually the only ones that die after stinging somebody.
Oh, so you're telling me that he lost one?
Yes. Yes.
Ah, oh, poor bee. Oh, that's just tough. Overall, just a really wacky situation, but I'm with you, Chris. I hope he's all right. I hope everything's back to normal. I'm sure if he's playing, I'm sure he's fine, right? So, also, right. Chris, I don't know that he'd own a beehive if he was allergic to bees. That doesn't seem like a very wise decision.
Yeah, well, I was kind of worried, though, because, you know, with the picture I saw on Twitter, his face was swollen, so it only happens usually if you get stung by a bee, so if he's allergic. Yeah.
What an odd scenario. That is around the NBA. Again, three games on tonight. Two of them going on right now. Phoenix, New Orleans knotted up at 13 apiece with 6:18 to go in the first quarter. Toronto just regained the lead, 37-36 in the second quarter. Terry texts in the First Midwest Bank text line, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. Terry says, no, as a matter of fact, honeybees will die if they sting. Wasps have a smooth stinger, so they will not die. So that's a misconception. I always thought wasps died if they stung.
As did I, yeah. Apparently it's the honeybee.
Well, that's insect talk here on Bucks at 6. We will wrap it up next. I want to talk a little bit more about this Boston-Milwaukee series that we're on the precipice of. It's going to be a good one. I'm still feeling optimistic, even without Chris Middleton. It's a huge loss. We can't underestimate that. But I still like the Bucks' chances. I'll tell you why next. Also, you can get in the conversation. Let's do this, Chris. From 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Bucks can win the series against the Boston Celtics? On a scale from 1 to 10, text in your answer, 800-990-3776, the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. I like their chances. I'll tell you why, and I'll give you my number of confidence. That's next. It's Bucks at 646 on ESPN Wisconsin. Yeah, wrap it up, Bucks at 6 on your Thursday night. We're leading you right into NFL Draft MegaCast coverage here on ESPN Wisconsin, as well as our sister station, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. Gabe Neitzel, Greg Matzik, Brian D., Jason Wilde, and a whole lot of guests will be with you until 11 o'clock tonight, covering the first round of the NFL Draft. Alex Strofe hanging out with you here on Bucks at 6. For a couple more minutes, I asked you before the break, on a scale from 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Bucks can win their next series against the Boston Celtics. Still a couple of minutes to get those answers in on the text line, 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. That's the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. But last segment we talked a little bit about Rudy Gobert getting stung by a bee. And I don't mean to laugh because I've been stung. It's not fun. But he got stung in the face because he owns a beehive. And we unfortunately found out that the bee that stung him passed away because that's what happens. Now, Terry, who I believe we're going to call our Bucks at Six residential bee expert, texted in last segment and said, no, as a matter of fact, honeybees do die when they sting. And then followed that text up in the commercial break and said, the average beehive has approximately 60,000 bees at full capacity, so to lose one bee is fairly minor. So does that mean, Chris Larson, that that Rudy Gobert owns 60,000 bees potentially? I'm so confused by this.
I guess so. If one beehive produces 60,000 bees and they live in there, I guess he's got that many living where he is. So.
I'm so lost, dude. That is just the banana story. But I hope Rudy's okay. Sounds like he is. He's playing tonight in a crucial Game 6 against the Dallas Mavericks in Utah on their home floor. But do or die time for the Jazz. So big one for them tonight. So from a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that the Milwaukee Bucks can win against the Boston Celtics is what we're asking you right now. We'll start with Jeremy in Columbus because I found his response rather amusing. He said 7.5. Nah, 8.5. Chris Middleton back for game four, up 2-1, goes for 40 to secure the series. Now, Jeremy, I'm no math whiz, but you do have to win four games to win a series, so that would just put them up 3-1 after game four. But nonetheless, I hope he's able to make it back, but it sounds like he's not going to be back for this series at all, let alone game four. So I like the optimism, but I don't know that that's doable. 262 chimes in. I'm a 10. Boston will not do to the Bucks what they did to Brooklyn. Bucks are too big and too strong. If Lopez decides to play at the basket, Boston will have no answer. And, of course, the additive, which we don't even need to mention, Giannis can't be stopped, says 262 on the text line. Joakim in Milwaukee chimes in. The Bucks will win this series if they get the same production from Grayson Allen. Now, Joakim, it's an interesting point, right? Grayson Allen did some banana stuff. He scored his career high in game number four against the Chicago Bulls. Now, when you're hot, you're hot, right? Live by the three, die by the three. That's what Grayson Allen did in that series against the Chicago Bulls. And it was a great coming out party, if you will, for Grayson Allen. And I hope we can remain to see the production we saw from him in that Chicago series. But it's not a given. You need a group of guys to step up. You saw Pat Connaughton finally have a nice 20-point game last night against Chicago. Hopefully he can repeat that performance, bring a spark off the bench. But I look at those two guys, right, Grayson Allen and Pat Connaughton, to provide a punch off the bench, as they did in that Bulls series. If they can do that again against Boston, I do feel really confident. So my answer, 7. 7 out of 10, I feel like the Bucks can win this series against Boston. I would bet on Milwaukee to win this series. And to the point that some people have made on the text line, again, 800-990-3776, if you still want to get your score and thoughts in, that Giannis is Giannis, right? You know, what's the line in Avengers? We have a Hulk. Well, the Bucks have a Giannis, and he does things that even as well as Jason Tatum has played in this playoffs, Giannis can still top that every night. And I think you can expect that consistently. Maybe not every game, but just about every game. Giannis is going to provide. We have no worries about that. It's now about everybody else, right? What does Bobby Portis do offensively? We know he can be really solid, and he's one of the better defenders, especially down low for the Milwaukee Bucks. So we know what Bobby can do. But can we see him step up and average, I don't know, 14, 15, 16 points a night? Can we have Brooke Lopez again, right in that same range, somewhere between 13, 16 points a night? Can Drew Holiday be more consistent offensively than he was in the Chicago series? Because that was a concern early, before and shortly thereafter Chris Middleton went out of that series in Game 2. We were just crossing our fingers that Drew Holiday would be able to pull it together and provide offensively. And he did eventually. But can he be more consistent offensively in this Boston series than he was against Chicago? Then I really like the chances. One more note from the Chicago series. And again, Chicago's not nearly as good as Boston is. But one more note that I want to throw out there. And this is something that Ben Brust harped on a couple days ago here on Bucks at 6 when we had him on Tuesday. And that was what the Bucks were able to do defensively against DeMar DeRozan in the final three games of that series. Last night, again, they hold him to only 10 attempted shots. Can they slow down the offensive production of Jason Tatum just a tad? Just a tad, right? He's not going to be able to do, because he's working against Giannis, who is a former Defensive Player of the Year. Kevin Durant's not. Is he able to just slow down Jason Tatum to a degree, just a tad, where that gives an opening offensively for Milwaukee? I don't know. I hope. It's going to be a really fun series. It's going to steal the show in the second round, because as I've said multiple times tonight, I believe firmly that the winner of this Boston-Milwaukee series will advance to the NBA Finals. I do. And we'll see how that gets started on Sundays. Three big NBA games tonight: Philly-Toronto, Phoenix-New Orleans, Dallas-Utah, all game sixes. Two of them going on right now. Dallas-Utah, 9 o'clock tip tonight. But all eyes are on the NFL draft. The Green Bay Packers with picks 22 and 28 right now in the first round. What will they do? Well, you better just stick right here, because the NFL Draft Megacast with our buddies Brian D., Greg Matzik, Gabe Neitzel, Jason Wilde, and a whole bunch of guests reacting live to the NFL draft until 11 o'clock. That's coming up next right here on ESPN Wisconsin.